Well, I'd like to welcome everybody that is here, both our members, our visitors. You're already family. If you're at home, whether you're on the West Coast, East Coast, or in between, you are just so welcome. It's a joy to be with you all. My lesson this morning is really a takeoff because of conversations I've had with individuals in the last 2 weeks. I thought, well, maybe I'll just start it this way and talking about a formula for life. If somebody says, you know, like in the song we just sang, you know, that we're living along this troublesome way. That's what Jesus said. In this world, you will have tribulation. Yeah, COVID-19 and wildfires and riots and protests and governmental upheaval. He said, that's how it is. But in me, you have peace. And that's what we're going to look at. How do people that go through incredible turmoil in their own lives? I don't mean that, you know, they're out and back in the alley shooting up and why do I have all these problems? Well, it's because you're shooting up in the alley. That's why you have those problems. I'm talking about the things that just flood people's lives, that hit them, blindside them. How do they deal with the heavy, heavy, heavy stuff? And so I've spent the last week and a half interviewing people that have gone through particularly hard things. And what we're going to find is, repeatedly, their insight as a Christian, their view of the future, is all built on faith, on hope, and on love. I don't know what I expected. Maybe that's what it was. But that idea is really covered from 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. Last week, we talked about a lesson on hope. And I thought about taking faith and love, but because of the conversations I've had with people, I thought, let me redirect the focus of it is a dealing with the tragedies in life. Because certainly there are those. And virtually everybody faces adversity eventually. You might say, oh boy, it was really easy for me. Oh, from age 2 days up to the first 2 years, but after that it got pretty dicey. Or it hit you in the teens or your family or however it was. Job says in Job chapter 14 and verse 1, man that is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Now, when we're little kids, I'd say generally, of course, if you're raised in an abusive home, boy, the whole dynamic there is different. But generally, kids say, hey, life is good, right? The golden years are between, you know, 1 year old and five. Then you got to go to school and life gets tougher, whatever it is. But it starts out pretty good. You're nurtured, you're loved, you're cuddled, you're fed. But he said, really, life is difficult. And then as Jacob talks about his own life, he's talking to Pharaoh. And he says, the days of my years, that he live 130 years old, have been few and unpleasant. Oh man, what a bad deal. Well, think about his life. Well, man, you got two wives, two concubines, 12 sons, one daughter, and they're not always doing the right thing all the time. And then you get into scrape after scrape. And so Genesis 47 verse 9. Jacob saw the problems. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14, in the time of prosperity be happy. And in the time of adversity consider that God has made one as well as the other. I don't know about you. I want all prosperity, all happiness, all good all the time. And there is such a place. But it's not on earth's shore. That's in heaven. Think about what happens that just shreds people. A love lost. Great financial disaster. Huge health reversal. Cancer or whatever. Someone betrays you. Car crashes. COVID-19. Arson like happened to our building in June 21 by somebody we didn't know. And People said, well, I wonder why they did it. It was a lady, maybe in her 20s. She hears voices, likes bright things, doesn't like Christians, had a bad experience with a grandfather in Okeechobee, Florida. You know, who knows why? But then you're dealing with COVID-19 and arson, and then you get wildfires. Well, what's your attitude? Well, people die in these things. They lose their homes, their possessions, and they're devastated. Sometimes it's expectations. I always hoped that. And you find out, no, that's not the journey that it's going to be. There's death, there's divorce, there's disaster. How in the world do people go through those kind of things? The reality is, both the Bible characters show that pain comes. And then as we move on, I'm going to show what Christians did and what believers did to handle that. Because it really wasn't, hey, just sing and be happy, just a few days here of toil, and it's all fine. How are you doing? Oh, wonderful. I never had a problem in the world. That's not true for anybody. And so as we think about individuals that had problems, there was Elijah. And we quote him sometimes, 1 Kings 19, verse 10. He said, they have killed their prophets. And his view wasn't right, but his view was, and I alone am left. I'm the last faithful one on earth. God said, well, that's not true. There's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Jeremiah in 15, verse 16 and following, why is my pain perpetual? Amen. Well, you had the sermon, man, you guys are all going to Babylon, they're carrying you off, the government's going down, all the priests and prophets and leaders, they're corrupt, and have a good day, we'll see you next Sunday. Well, everybody hated Jeremiah and his family and his colleagues and whatnot. David in Psalm 51, verse 3, my sin is ever before me. In the book of Ruth, Naomi had a husband, two sons, and so they leave Palestine proper, and they go across Jordan to Moab. Her husband dies, her sons die, and she comes back home, and they say, Naomi, or pleasantness, is back. And she said, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, or bitterness. That's real life. You know, when people go through tragedies and say, oh yeah, well, I'm doing fine. Either they're not got their own thinking sorted out yet, or they're not ready to tell you about it. Think about how we talked about in the devotional for the Lord's Supper. Jim Hester dealt with that aspect of here is Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that the Father made and the torture he went through. Mary is told when she brings Jesus to present him in the temple. She's told, a sword shall pierce even to your own soul. I don't know how it is for you, but for me, when I'm going through tough times, I don't like to talk about it. We're going to make it through. Why? Guys, anyhow, generally, you just want to be stoic, handle thing and whatnot. And if I'm really in misery, I don't want to be surrounded by people. We kind of like bears. We want to get in the cave, lick our wounds, and we'll heal up, and I'll be okay in a week, a month, or whenever. But the reality is, we do need help. Here is Jesus with his own mother seeing him executed on the cross. Man, if they were going to, you know, strap me in an electric chair, I don't want my family in the waiting room saying, hey, let's see Dad. Mary would go through that very thing. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 6, but God who comforts the depressed, shows you where Paul's situation was, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Thought, boy, they're going to kill him. He said, no, they didn't kill me. They're all great. They want to repent. They're on the right track. They love you, and it's all good. You know, that just lifts our spirit. But Paul had been, you know, in depression for that. And last week we cited Job in Job 19 and verse 13 down through 20, a long section there, very impressive. But the first part is he just says, he, God, has uprooted my hope like a tree. God, it's over. So what do you do in situations like that? What did the Bible characters do? Because there's real flesh and blood Christians, and they deal with bitterness. And Proverbs 14, verse 10 talks about a man's joy another does not know, nor his bitterness does he share. So people go through tough times. How do they do it? The purpose for this lesson is to take the great attitudes that others had and demonstrated and see if we can't learn from that and really be stronger, better Christians and inspirational to others round about us. How do godly believers handle pain? I mean real serious pain. And the answer was faith. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job said after, here's what God has done, and if I could just plead my cause. And all of his children died, his health destroyed, his wealth gone. His wife finds him repulsive. His friends are saying, you're just a liar, a crook. You couldn't be having this bad of luck, I'll say, if you weren't really corrupt, so answer up. And he said, that's not how it is. And then Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I go, wow, that's impressive. What he's saying is, look, my life is really hanging in the balance, but I want to tell you that if everything goes, my children have died, my wife finds me repulsive, my family is abandoned me, that I'm going to trust you, God. I thought, wow, that's a lesson for us. It's kind of like, let's put on the big boy boots there, get that cap on straight, because that's the kind of person I want to be. But I'm going to learn that seeing it in other people's lives. Because Job said in chapter 19, verse 25 and following, I know that my Redeemer lives. And even after my skin is flayed, I'm at it, you know, boils head to toe and under your arm and everywhere. Just phew. Yet without flesh, I shall see God. Well, that's the kind of person I want to be. You say, Paul, you there? I don't know if I'm there yet, but I want to grow. I want to be that kind of person that inspires others. And we all want to be, regardless of what challenges there are in life. And that's what Job showed us. We like scriptures, but really it speaks to us of our faith, like Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good, for those that love him, for those that are called according to his purpose. Will they really work out well? God, they may be for me personally, or will be personally for me, but not yet, or not for me personally, but will bless others. You're going to work it out well. Philippians 4:6. How well do we work this part out? Be anxious for nothing. Man, I have got that figured out. I never, Paul, no you don't. Well, no, I'm pretty good. Well, are you? Well, I'm somewhat good. The reality is we struggle with those things because some things fret us, and other things we can let go. But the question is, how deeply do we trust God? Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Do we really believe? Or yeah, we come to church and it's great and we sing some, you know, oh, how I love Jesus. But in our heart of hearts, we say, God, I'm really surrendering. And whatever you want to do is really going to be okay. I had an extensive conversation with Joe Bartle and asking, I'll say everybody's permission in advance, at the moment, I'm going to share parts of it that I think are so touching, are so real. I said, Joe, I want to write down what you're saying. And he said, I, Joe, can talk one-to-one, but not to a group. He's really eloquent. And when he talks to you, I thought, wow, this is so great. He said, the longer I live, I see how indebted I am to God. I look in the mirror, and I'm still not what I should be to God. Sometimes I doubt, or I blow it 8 hours later. But God has put us exactly where he wanted us to be placed. It'd be so good if each person could just appreciate their gift and not fret about what others can do. Everybody has a part to play in the kingdom. How great God is that he's involved in my life, Joe says. No matter who you are and what baggage you have, God wants you to succeed. It's like an onion being with the layers being peeled off. He said, for me, why did it take so long to realize that? He said, nothing on my own is good, but God did it all. And what's happened is not so bad. Even if, and what you think about what's happened with him and Karen, I think it's been 8 years now, and she's had this rare form of leukemia and battled and table full of medicines. And what he says in looking at all of that, and he himself just had carpal tunnel surgery. They're considering surgery on his shoulder, maybe on his neck. And so, man, he is banged up. And he said, if you lose everything, it really doesn't matter. If your attitude is right, you're the richest man there is. He said, the more of self we can take out of the picture, the better off we are. But not using our talents is a waste. Well, how do people that go through really tough time for years of it, they say, well, I trust God. You say, well, yeah. But all we're saying is we're brought back to basics time and time again. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. Be still and know that I am God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Rejoice always. That is that calm inner peace. And pray without ceasing. No, because what happened to me so bad is I can't trust God and I don't know if this. Do we really believe in God? Or is it only in the good times we do? Paul had some kind of physical affliction, and he references it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And he prayed 3 times that thorn in the flesh might be removed from him. And God said, basically, no, that power is perfected in weakness. You're here this morning not because you're 100% healthy, not because you feel 100% good, but you're 100% God's. I was talking with one of the Christians just before service. I said, why don't we want to open up to everybody and say, oh, by the way, well, because we're not sure everybody will treat our situation equally kind. And I'd cited that reference on friendship is one into whose hand we can pour the contents of our life, wheat and chaff alike. And he will sift it and keep what is worth keeping, and with the gentlest breath, blow the rest away. That's what we appreciate about friendships. We're a ding-dong. What an idiot. Why'd you do that? I don't know. It seemed good at the time, but it wasn't. And they said, well, I love you anyhow. It's going to be okay, and I'm willing to help. That's the kind of friendships that we can build in Christ. And what you appreciate is the people here. I just look out. Here's Paula Garibaldi, her little mask on, got her glass on, got her little hovercraft, goes around, and she's just here. And you're here, whatever your situation is. Heartache, lost loved ones, in distress, but you're here. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 that we quote really all the time or so frequently, you know, that the young men stumble badly, but those that know their God will increase strength. They will walk and not get tired. They will run and not faint. They will rise up with wings like eagles. Where do you get that strength? Man, it's not because of some worldly thing. It's just because of God. That beautiful passage in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16 and 19. And Habakkuk starts out praying to God. Boy, society, his society is so rotten and corrupt, and I pray and you don't do anything. He said, I'm going to do something, and you're not going to like it, really. I'm bringing the Chaldeans down. They're going to invade. They're going to carry you off, and it's going to be the end of society as you know it. And what Habakkuk says is so inspirational. He said, if there's no fruit on the vine, if there's no figs in the tree, if there's no cattle in the field, that is, everything that you need for life is gone. He says, yet will he cause me to walk on my high places. He said, come what may, I belong to God. I go, wow. That's not a society like ours been hammered. You're being carried off, gone. They're destroying your city. They're destroying the temple. It's over. And he said, God will cause me to walk on the heights. I'm going to do fine. Boy, we take that to heart. Say, God, that's the kind of person that I want to be. In that passage that all the time we talk about and cherish, Philippians 4:13, that I can do. How do you get by? Well, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. One of the people that I talked to and cherished was Marilyn Sabsowitz. And she had gone through lots of reversals. And so I said, Marilyn, and she got health problems and whatnot, and she's in Enumclaw. That's where she lives now. She says, it's been all God and his providence. Her husband, Tiny, who was a big guy, died 12 years ago. And her twin sister has cancer. She said, when my husband died, it's like I was frozen. And that was that year, and the second year, and the third year. She says, what you learn, and she said, and repeatedly she said, this is me. Because the next person you talk to, they lose a loved one. They may not be and probably won't be exactly that same way. Everybody's different. She's just saying how it was for her. And for a couple of the godly women whose husbands also were preachers and lost them, she said, you're never a single entity again. I said, what does that mean? She said, well, we were knit together, and I don't think beyond that. She said, I don't know if you can understand that. I said, well, I can't understand it like you do because I've not experienced that. But tell me what that's like. She says, well, really what you do is you focus on the spiritual. Though your heart is broken continually, you're not depressed. I go, how does that work? The reality, I don't know how that works. She says, but in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 5, we know that we have eternal life. She said, you don't have to guess about it. She said, people say, well, I wonder if. She said, if you're a true Christian, you know you have eternal life. And when your mate passes away, you don't ever, ever think about giving up because you want to see them on heaven's shore. Wow, what a cool attitude. There's faith. That's the disposition that I have to serve God. One person said, I never knew how strong I was until I had to forgive someone who wasn't sorry and accept an apology I'd never received. Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's just way better. They don't want forgiveness. They think they're right, you're wrong anyhow, and they're still wrong. And they're never going to say, I'm sorry. You say, yeah, but I forgive you. Yeah, but I didn't apologize. I've accepted it anyhow. Why? Because it just kind of closes the door on that and lets you move on. So how do godly believers handle pain? They have hope. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 said, after you suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will himself perfect you. The pieces that we don't have very well bolted on, he said, you're going to grow in that. I will confirm you. I'm going to make sure everything is in the right order that needs to be in your life. I will strengthen you and establish you. I'm going to give you that solid foundation. You're not going to be wobbling around because you've gone through the difficult times and you know you can handle them. So how are you doing with that? So, all right. Paul, you ever had an arson fire before? No. Been associated with a congregation that has? No. What's it like? Seriously, it's not some insurmountable thing. It wasn't devastating when it happened. There's just a lot to do to get it back right again. But it's kind of exciting seeing things go in the right way. And so there's that element of hope. And staying positive, one person said, means even on bad days, you know better days are coming. I mean, you've not dug a hole, pulled the dirt in over you, and it's never going to get better, and how can I ever live again? That's just not the way it is. With Austin's permission, and I'm going to start right away so he can't disagree, I just talked to him, and he just has some great, great attitudes. Because he'd had intestinal challenges and the acid got and burned part of the digestive system. And so I know he had had the test and this and that. And so here, just this last week, I asked him, so he's 18, almost 19. And so I'm thinking, well, you're kind of back on track again. So I said, Austin, how is that? Because it had been like it'd have some kind of smoothie and then an apple. That's what he'd been eating for I don't know how long. I thought, he's a big guy. And Paul, you wouldn't do fare very well on a smoothie and an apple, and that's it, day after day. So I think, well, you're past that. Man, we're down and we're ready to go out to Jimmy Mac's. We're going to have a steak. And so I said, how's that for you? He said, oh, no, I have a green drink in the morning, and that's whatever he said, lettuce and carrots and frogs in a blender or something. I don't know what it is. But he has these things that you drink, and I thought, man, I drink green things, but I don't like drinking green things. But I drink it. It's supposed to be good for you. Well, what about in the evening? He said, well, in the evening I have a smoothie. I go, boy, my scalp crawls. I got a green drink in the morning and a smoothie, and that's it? And his attitude was amazing for a young man. He said, well, it's not cancer. And the nurse said, it's 100% reversible. Beside that, I can walk. I've got a house. I've got a car. He said, as I've gotten older, which is 19, which is amazing, I want you to know, I mean, we're touched, we're impressed by that. As I've gotten older, I've gotten more appreciative. For the most part, I have good health. I have plenty to eat. Yeah, but look what it is. I thought, Paul, you would make a miserable Israelite. Oh, no, we got chicken and bread again. And just tremendous disposition. He said, I have friends to hang out with, great parents. He said, what do I not need? He said, my brain is wired to be content with the bare essentials. Plus, I have good people to be around, like my parents. Wow, what a trivia, man. Write that down, say that. And so, man, what a joyous thing. And that great, great disposition. He said, I've gotten better at trusting God. It may be hard in the moment, but if anything is bad, it'll work out for good. Hey, wow. God bless. So glad you're here. But really, that's inspirational to all of us, knowing that, okay, there's some tough times. Hang on to the side rails. It's going to get bumpy. 3 John chapter 2, John said, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health. God really wants that for us. In 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, Paul says, this momentary light affliction, Paul, you were beaten 240 times, you were stoned, you were shipwrecked 3 times, only one is recorded out of that. And he said, oh yeah, we've had a few bumps. He said, yeah, but that's really true, because it only lasts so long. But we're looking toward eternity. He said, we got an eternal weight of glory coming. One guy, Charlie Jones, said, things don't go wrong and break your heart so you can become bitter and give up. They happen to break you down and build you up so you can be all that you were intended to be. Whole change in attitude, isn't it? Man, he says, whew, I needed that. And he says, man, put on that armor and I goosebumps and I'm ready to go. It's just thrilling. This, I got this decades ago and I've appreciated it. Tough times never last, right? Tough people do. Hang in there, warriors. Be tough. Inspire others. And then the last principle is, how do godly believers handle pain? And that is love. Philippians 2 and verse 3 said, let each regard the other as more important than yourself. That whatever you're facing is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. Because we're surrounded by others. A passage that I cherish in Psalm 69 and verse 6, the psalmist says, may those who seek thee not be dishonored through me. Christians, we all impact each other. And how we live our life impacts everybody else. For honor, for dishonor. So when Satan said, hey, you know, why don't you kind of step around the corner? He's saying, I'm not going to do that. Because it does impact me, but it impacts my entire spiritual family. And so that helps you. You love them. It's not just, well, that them brethren down there where I go. This is us. We are family. And 2 Corinthians 12, 15, Paul says to the Corinthians, most gladly I will spend and be spent. That's how Paul felt about Corinth. Christians, how do you feel about this congregation? It's us. And we're here to rebuild and bless others. Oh, how much would you spend? Whatever it takes. Well, what about you personally willing to be spent? God, whatever you want. And it's just been thrilling watching the different Christians spend and be spent. Christians here yesterday, Bill Crandall making the heating, air conditioning, ventilation good. Jim Hester working on the wiring that beats me how that all works. I just say, we're so thankful you're here. He said, he didn't know either. So it's just, he goes, oh, abracadabra, and it worked. Because that's his gift, and that's Austin's gift, and each one contributes what they can. Daniel 12 and verse 3, those who lead many to righteousness, how they will shine like the stars forever and ever. That's our mission here. We're going to face hard things and reversals, but it's really to reach others, bless them, that they may have eternity with God. Hebrews 10, 24, stimulate one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Some people can't make it. By the way, just shortly before I got up here, I got a text from Mike and Mary McCauley. Hey, we wanted to be here today. Looks like we got stomach flu. So if it's one thing, it's another. We said, Mike, man, love you. Get healthy. Look forward to coming back. And so we're going to overcome. And again, we are so thankful you are here with us. So when you're focused on someone else, you can't focus on your own pain. Some would say, whatever happens to me is just temporary. What happens will make me stronger. And when I'm not strong enough, God will take over. It gives me patience with other people. I just figure God is God, and He has a plan. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen, whether I worry or not. I just don't live for me. I live for other people. And I tell myself God has a plan, and it's okay. And one of the things they said was, don't surrender your heart so quickly to hurt. Let it cut more deeply. It makes my need of God absolutely clear. Wow. One person said, be so busy loving God and others and loving your life that you have no time for regret, for worry, for fear, or for drama. Why? Because other people are important. And really, in being grateful, think about Jesus as Savior, the family that we have in Christ, the family we have domestically, the creation, nature He has, the worship we can do, the work He's given us, the book of life that He's provided us, the songs we sing, the homes we have, the rest. This country, this verse that you come across and say, boy, that helped me today. The peace we have, the wisdom, and all the other things. God, You are so good. So what is it all about? The formula for life really is faith, hope, and love. That's God's formula. In Matthew chapter 23 and verses 27 through 29, He said, here's the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. How do you get through the tough times? It really is faith. It really is hope. And it really is love. We're going to sing a song, number 771, is Will You Come? It may be that you're in the audience and say, you know, I'm here and I'd like to ask for the prayers of the saints. And afterward, you're certainly free to come up and do that. If you're at home or across the country, you say, you know, I want to turn my life around. I'd like to talk. You could call one of us here. You can call me personally. Or if you want to be baptized and you're some other part of the country, look somebody up in the Church of Christ. Make that turn. Because our whole future is really built on faith, hope, and love. And so our question and our invitation to you is, will you come? Number 700.